When it's time for a big night out, some men put on a bow tie, some throw on a tux, others reach for a giant wig and high heels. Dressing up in drag is something many of us have an opinion on, but few have tried. Our arts columnist Jillian Richards met with local drag artist Nate Flavel. He's prepping her to dress in drag for the first time this weekend at a big event, and Jillian is in our studio this morning. Good morning, Jillian.
Good morning, Chris.
So you're going to dress in drag this weekend.
Yes. Oh, this has been such a cool experience leading up to this. Very eye-opening. As you know, the Sugar Plum Ball is happening this weekend.
Yes. We talked to the mayor, who's Mayor Sugar Plum himself, Colin Bazran, here in Kelowna. And he's dressing in drag as well.
Yes. So the event is put on by the Okanagan Young Professional. The proceeds go to the Okanagan Pride Society. And as a guest, you can wear whatever you want to the ball. You don't have to be in drag, but there's stations where you can sort of prep up your outfit a little bit. And Mayor Colin Bazran will be dressed up, not as a woman, but he'll be in partial drag, so that he will be highly decorated. And the organizers also asked a small group of local personalities to get dressed in full drag, of which I'm one, and I asked my husband to join me as well.
Okay, so let's just clarify what drag is and the difference between partial and full drag, or if it's a man and a woman doing it, just how does this work?
So drag's been around for centuries. It goes back to Shakespearean times and even before that. But basically, when theater was being performed, it used to be all men on stage, all actors. And so when it would be noted that a man was playing a female in the script, it would say dressed as girl. So they figured that's where the term originally started to be in drag.
Huh.
And then, yeah, off the stage, it became a popular subculture, you know, in Europe and North America in the 1900s, but it was very hidden and repressed for a long time. Then in the 60s, there were drag queen activists who were part of the Stonewall riots in New York, who helped lead the way for like the community to become more vocal and empowered. And you have it growing until today, where it's mainstream with shows like RuPaul's Drag Race on TV.
Now, remind me, so that's a show that where drag queens compete to win prizes, is it not?
Yeah, like from all over. He pulls them in from across North America. And they also have an online competition where viewers can submit a video of themselves lip-syncing in drag. And Nate Flavel, who's the executive producer of the Kelowna Actors Studio, in 2013, he made a video. It was his first time doing a drag competition like that, and he won. So he's been mentoring me and getting me all prepped for my debut this weekend.
So this is something you and your husband are doing together. How much of this is about gender and sexuality?
Well, it's not really. It's about performance. And this is what I'm learning from Nate. So he sees drag as an art that's still very closely tied with the theater.
I think drag specifically is more about performance art than anything else. I'm a boy. I like being a boy. I don't want to not be a boy. But, you know, I have a lot of fun putting on a dress and heels and pretending to be a female, just like I would play any other character on stage. And for the same reasons I enjoy playing characters on stage. Like, it's just entertaining. Because you get away with a lot more things, and you can be a lot more playful and a little more risque. And also very sort of major in the world right now is the awareness of the transgender community with, you know, that's been going on. And transgender is completely different from drag. So those are people that are going through a completely different challenge, and that is very much how they identify with their sexuality and with who they are as a person. I mean, I even had some of my good friends refer to me, you know, and say, oh, I was at that event where you were a transvestite. And I'm like, no, that's a completely different thing. You know, and there's tons of respect that flows between the two communities, but the reality is that they are two very distinct communities.
So, Jillian, what do you think it'll be like for you to watch your husband go to the Sugar Plum Ball as a woman?
I think it's going to be very entertaining. He's a firefighter and a rugby player, and he's covered in tattoos. So it'll be really fascinating to see how he transforms.
So if he's going as a woman, does that mean that you're going as a man?
No, I thought I was going to be a man originally, but I'll be a woman too. So in the drag community, there's an even smaller community of women who do drag. Sometimes they're called faux queens or female impersonators who are female. But once again, it goes back to about being a performance. So drag is about, you know, finding and expressing this inner fabulousness. And I get to be this extended character of myself. I get to wear a huge, crazy gown and get wild makeup and wear a big wig and, you know, have people wonder, you know, who is that under there?
So you get to both enjoy being in public and as an alter ego for the night.
Yeah. And I mean, we're not totally new to this. We do theater. We were in Cinderella a few years ago, and my husband was an ugly stepsister. So I've seen him as a woman, but only as an ugly, scary woman. So this will be very different. And my grandfather was also an actor and in drag all the time on stage. So it's not a big shock value for me anymore.
But it is for some people. I mean, we all know the drag is out there, of course, and as a practice, it's more popular in the gay community, of course. But as Nate said, it's a performance rather than about sexual identity. So when there's a big public event like the Sugar Plum Ball, is this about him being empowered or making a statement or just having fun or some combination of all that or what?
Yeah, it's about both. I think, like you said, because as a practice, going out in public in drag has been something that's been misunderstood and oppressed for a long time. And because there's such a strong tie, even though they're separate communities, they still support each other, the drag community and the transgender, bisexual, and gay communities. To have an event like this in Kelowna really speaks to our level of tolerance and acceptance as a larger community. Nate can especially speak to this as a business professional who's lived here for years and is both gay and does drag.
I came out in the 90s, and I came out in this community, and I came out really quietly. I was in the business community. I did not stand up. I was not one of those guys who marched in the parades. I've never been. How I ended up being a drag queen, I don't actually understand how that sort of came out. Well, I do know how it happened, but it wasn't what I expected. It wasn't what my partner expected either. But, you know, coming out in the 90s in this community and experiencing that, it just wasn't okay. You weren't accepted. So everything you did was kept hidden. And that becomes a way of life for you. So when we can bring drag into the mainstream in this community and we can add that little bit of shock value for our community, they start to relax a little bit more on the stuff that isn't shock value. You know, if I reach across the table and hold my partner's hand at dinner in a restaurant, that shouldn't be shocking if they just saw a drag queen walk down the street.
So is that what they're trying to achieve with this?
Yeah, it's not about throwing all our drag queen booties in your face. It's about normalizing it and making people understand it's a non-threatening, playful way to have fun. And I'm so excited. I think it's going to be amazing. I hope whoever comes is entertained and maybe even tries dressing up with us if they want to. And Nate says, you know, for him, it's about having a blast, but it's also a very feel-good type of event as well.
I've always said that the gay community actually throws the best parties. And it's because at the end of the day, everybody was there to have a good time. The typical straight nightclubs were all, from my experience in my youth, were all very, a lot of posturing. You know, you go to the straight clubs and everybody's not sure about whenever they're going to start dancing. Well, at the gay club, there's people dancing as soon as you walk in the door. You know, like that's what they're there for. They're there to have fun and have a good party. So the idea of having this party and really pushing it towards the allies in the community with the young business professionals and bringing those two groups together, which really shouldn't be separate. There's tons of crossover. But really saying, hey, come out and party with us. You know, I mean, it's really just love. That's it. You know, and I'm really proud to live in a community where our mayor gets it, and he gets that it is just acceptance and love for our community.
Jillian, thanks very much.
Thanks, Chris.
Jillian Richards is our arts columnist. The Sugar Plum Ball is tomorrow night at the Rotary Center for the Arts. You can buy tickets online at rotarycenterofthearts.com.